Hiya and welcome to Into It. I'm Daniel Welsh and as always I'm here with Rachel McGraw and Ash Percival. This week we're going to be looking at the importance of representation in UK soaps, sharing a few of our favourite bad films and of course we'll be ending, as always, with this week's quiz based on one of the week's biggest headlines. Before we get to all that though, let's talk about the Strictly Come Dancing story that's had everyone talking this week. And that's the issue of same-sex dance partnerships on the dance floor. So it's now into its 15th series, but Strictly has never featured a same-sex couple before. And with two gay contestants on this year's series, some people speculated that it might be time to introduce one. In particular, Susan Kalman, the Scottish comedian, has had to fend off criticism over the fact that she's been partnered with a man. She said in an interview, "No one can say I haven't stood up for the LGBT community. I think politically, there's nothing more powerful than having an openly gay woman on the biggest show on television whose wife is on the front row doing what she wants to do." So, first off, what do we think of the criticism about the lack of same-sex dancers? And what do we think of Susan Kalman's response to it? Anyone.
Who's going to go first?
Well, firstly, like, I would love to see same-sex dancers on Strictly. I think it would be a really nice thing for them to do and something that's kind of a long time coming, really. In regards to Susan's response, I completely and utterly support her. Like, she, as a woman who is a lesbian and in a partnership, I think she's married, isn't she?
She is married.
Yeah, as a married woman, she's completely right to have the choice of who she wants to dance with. Just because she's gay doesn't mean that we should put her, like, immediately partner her off with a woman. If she wants to dance with a man, she should be allowed to dance with a man.
Well, that's the thing. She's said repeatedly over the past few days that she's not being forced into anything, that it was her decision to dance with a man. In particular, I don't know if you've seen the launch show, but when she was partnered with Kevin Clifton, she was so excited that she actually cried.
Didn't she have a picture of him on her fridge?
Allegedly.
She's obsessed with Kevin Clifton.
Yeah, like, she
basically
pure loves Kevin Clifton. So for her to be accused of, you know, like, going along with whatever, when that's the man she really wants to dance with, I think it's very, very strange.
I don't think it's fair to put it on her shoulders. It's like Ash said, like, you know, so what? You know, yeah, she's a lesbian, she's married, but why should she have to dance with, you know, she doesn't need to be kind of like, it's like this expectation that she'll be the trailblazer and she'll be the one to be the first one to do it. And she owes us that and she should be doing it when actually, no, she can do what she wants.
But like equally, like her appearance on Strictly doesn't have to be politicised. As she says that, like, she's done a lot of campaigning and she's done a lot of trailblazing, like, for the LGBT community. Maybe she wants to do just one thing for herself rather than as a member of the LGBT community. This is her as Susan Kalman going out on the biggest show on telly, maybe not as a hugely well-known, like, household name. This is her opportunity to say to people, this is who I am, this is me. And maybe she doesn't have to politicize it by sort of saying, like, right, I'm taking a stand by being the first woman to have an LGBT same-sex partner.
The thing is as well, Rachel, you just touched on this, and Susan has said this over the past couple of days, is that she feels that as a woman, she is more open to critiques when gay men who've been on the show haven't faced this criticism. You know, you had Judge Rinder, Will Young last year, even this year, Reverend Richard Coles. It feels like he's got off a lot more lightly than Susan Kalman. And in a way, I think it's because of all of the campaigning and all the activism that she's been responsible for in the past. She's basically made a rod for her own back. It's like, well, hang on, has she taken her foot off the gas or is this just something she's allowed to do?
Well, even case in point here, I am obsessed with the Reverend and I did not know he was gay until 2 seconds ago.
What?
I didn't know he was gay. I just didn't.
How obsessed with him are you?
I don't know. I just spend a lot of time evidently on his Twitter, but not on the right places of his Twitter. But I'm not being funny. That's clearly like proof. Like if I've got to this point and I haven't even found out he was gay, yet all I've heard about is how Susan Kalman should have been paired with a woman and how dare she not do this.
Yeah, like on a serious note, like we spend a lot of time reading about Strictly, writing about Strictly, bloody talking about Strictly at that desk. So the fact that Rachel here did not know that one of the contestants was gay does show a lot about the fact that she is being held to a different standard to him.
I do agree to a certain extent, but I was actually, so the quotes that the interview has come from, I'm going to drop a clanger, but I was actually there when it unfolded, so...
Were you there? Were you responsible? What
I
happened?
Wasn't responsible, thank
you. You were
goodness.
An innocent bystander.
Give us your first-hand account of what happened.
She was actually asked by I think it was Attitude or Gay Times magazine, that she was a round table where she was with a lot of other journalists, and they sort of posed the question to her being like, oh, would you have liked to have been the first person to dance with a same-sex partner? And she actually got quite upset. She was quite sort of emotional. And then she came to our table and she was actually delayed in coming to our table because she was too upset and had to go and speak to the PR about it. Now, we sort of heard chatting after that she actually had been asked that question quite a few times throughout that interview sort of process. And by the time it got to sort of when she was asked by that person, I think she just had enough. Like, she was just like, you know what? I don't need this. Like, I don't need to be asked this question. But I wonder with the Reverend, like, before I went to that, like, launch, I didn't know he was gay either. And I wonder if people were in a similar position, not knowing maybe that Richard Coles was gay.
I mean, I know I write about it all the time, but I haven't actually interviewed any of them. But I like to think that if I got to the point where I was at the round tables like you did when I was interviewing them, I would have found out by then that he was gay. So I feel like they should also, if they were asking that question of Susan Kalman, they should also have asked it of him.
I like that shade to Ash's research. That's all I took away from that.
Ash did say that he knew at the launch, he knew by then. So, like, right. They should have asked everybody.
What I want to finish off and say is that I am gay. That's not it.
I didn't know that either.
It's coming out, Daniel.
That's not the end of the sentence. As a gay person who watches Strictly Come Dancing every year, I would really like to see a same-sex couple on the show. And I would really like it if it had been Susan Kalman. Me and my friend who watched Strictly, we had said before the couples were announced, wouldn't it be good if she was the first person because of her history and because of her whatever. I'm not saying that she should have, because at the end of the day, as long as she's happy to dance with a man, to dance with Kevin Clifton, as long as that's her decision, that's her prerogative. It's like when people talk about celebrities who haven't come out yet. It's like people should come out in their own time. If you want to dance with a man on the telly, dance with a man on the telly. Life's short. We're all thundering towards death. You can't do things you don't want to do. Not at this late stage in the game. But am I disappointed that we've gone another year without seeing a same-sex couple on Strictly? Yeah, I kind of am. Like, I must admit.
It's just a shame, isn't it? But...
it is. And I think, I mean, me and Rachel discussed this earlier in the week. There are more pressing issues to be dealt with on Strictly, in my opinion, than the lack of same-sex couples.
Because, ooh, like what?
Well, like, I don't think that the professional lineup is particularly diverse. Like, I think that is something that is more pressing, in my opinion. When I look at that lineup of dancers, I'm not seeing a great deal of diversity.
Well, even, I'm not being funny, but I love Strictly to pieces, but this is the first year that the panel has had a gender balance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, 15
it's
series.
It's taken 15
14
years for them
years.
To have
yeah,
an
we
equal
say
amount
that though,
of men
but
and
they,
women.
They were the first like primetime show to put two, primetime Saturday night show
yeah,
to put two women.
That's great,
panel.
But that doesn't cancel
absolutely.
Out the panel.
Absolutely, and that's not something, as Rachel's just said, that's like, not something to take away from, but it doesn't...
It doesn't make up, like that's great and good on them for doing that, but doesn't make up for the fact the panel was... not balanced the whole time.
Yeah, and I think exactly, yeah. And I mean, we've got four white judges on that panel once again. So I think things like that are more pressing. But would I like to see a same-sex couple dancing on Strictly? Yeah, I would. But again, it's not like, you know, these couples that are on Strictly, they're not actually in a relationship. She's not being forced.
Not yet, then.
Not yet. Yeah. Oh my God. That would be the ultimate Strictly curse.
Oh my God, if Susan Kalman and Kevin Clifton, the ultimate safe pair of hands...
Well, all I can say to that is watch this space. Moving on to another of this week's big stories. You can always rely on Dean Gaffney for a quote. Can you or can you not?
Yeah, you can. He's a good
man. You can now.
Remember that? Yeah, you can. You can for the next 5 minutes while we discuss this. He was talking about the future of EastEnders. He's back as Robbie Fowler. Is that correct? Robbie Fowler?
Yeah, in an odd twist. Jackson.
It's Jackson. But his back is Robbie.
Why was he got different surnames?
He was never Fowler.
Sonia was Fowler.
Sonia's
when
Fowler because
she
was married
Martin.
To Martin.
Yeah.
So he was never Robbie Fowler?
Never.
No.
So that was just my mistake.
Sonia was always Jackson.
That was a lie, Daniel, that you told.
Sorry about that, everyone. Fake news. Once again, even in the world of EastEnders, we can't escape it. All right, so what's he called, Robbie Jackson?
Yeah.
All right, well, he's back as Robbie Jackson anyway, and he's looking ahead to the future of EastEnders, and he says that the soap needs to reintroduce some older, more mature characters. He said, I'm just going to read this in my own voice rather than my Robbie Jackson / arguably not Fowler voice.
Can you do it in Wellard's voice?
Was Will Arnett the dog?
Yeah.
I don't watch EastEnders, so I don't know who is what. I'm not going to read it in the dog's voice. No one answered your question. He says, I think we need more... I think we need more older characters in the show. I think it's important to introduce them, thanks to the absence of people like Pat Butcher and Barbara Windsor, Peggy Mitchell, all that. So what do we think? Older people in soaps. Do we need more? Why does it matter? Let's talk.
Well, I think EastEnders in particular, like, so the ones he names were really good, but they were kind of like the old matriarchs. They're like the... I don't see them as older characters. I see them as like strong female ones.
Yeah.
EastEnders has always, I think, struggled with older characters. Like the couples that they bring in. So at the moment, it's like Ted and Joyce, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care for them. The other ones, the Cokers, they had...
Oh, I loved the Cokers.
No, the cross-dressing storyline was amazing. And then it went on for a year too long. Like, they were also a pain in the bum. But I think other soaps actually do quite well. Like Emmerdale has always done really well. It's always had an older audience.
Can I just stop you there? Sorry. Why is EastEnders struggled with older characters?
I don't know.
Do you think
they're at the point where they had so many like back in the day, and they've like gradually like killed them all off. You know, we have like Pauline Fowler, Arthur Fowler, Frank Butcher, Pat Butcher, Peggy Mitchell. They've all gone now, and what they've struggled to do is replace them.
Yeah.
What they've struggled to do is find the next sort of generation of older characters that are going to capture the imagination in the same way that they did.
Because in Corrie, you've got like Ken Barlow, Norris, they've all been around for a really long time. Yeah.
But exactly, that's the thing though. They've been there for a long time. They're not bringing in any new ones. But then they don't need new ones because they've got the people who've been there
but
for
they're
a
so
years.
Integral to Coronation Street, those older characters. Like, yeah, when you've got different bosses in, they might not utilize them as much as like the next boss might do, but they've always been there. They've always like underpinned that street, I feel, whereas like EastEnders I don't think has got that in the same
also
way.
Where they
they're
went
not at
on
the
that,
heart of the show.
They went on the kind of teenage sort of thing where they've had all this school drama and the prom with Bex Fowler and all of that. That's been a very interesting twist.
Well, you mentioned that.
The
Dean
opposite
Gaffney
direction.
Says this as well. He says, I think bosses do think we're in an era where young people watch things like Hollyoaks. And he says that that EastEnders needs to try and find a happy medium between sort of the Coronation Street and Hollyoaks. What do we think of shows like Hollyoaks who are like, you know, their cast is entirely young? Is that bad? Are we missing out by not having older people among them?
I don't know. I think it's quite good. The thing with Hollyoaks, they do really well, is they know their audience and they put so many good, like, young people's issues at the forefront of it. They make no secret. But I think this is the thing with maybe EastEnders. I don't think they're as sure who their audience is.
I don't even think it's that. I think Hollyoaks is specifically made for young people. Like, EastEnders has always been a cross-generational show. Like, it always has been. You're meant to be able to sit down with your kids and watch it, or you can watch it with as a nan. Like, do you know what I mean?
But then you're aiming at so many different people.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're right though. Hollyoaks is on. It's on earlier in the night. You know, it's more.
Yeah, it's a teen soap. Hollyoaks started as a teen
soap.
Like, EastEnders isn't the same thing, yeah.
Did it specifically, like, as Grange Hill esque?
Not like it, I would say that Grange Hill was probably a kid's show. I think that Hollyoaks was like that next sort of step.
Is it
up.
Like the Just 17 level?
Well, I don't know what that is.
It's
what
like
is
a
that?
Magazine.
Oh, okay.
Once you were done with Ms., you went on to Just 17.
And Sugar.
it was like Ms., Sugar, J17.
I just remember my sister always being like, where's my free gift from Sugar magazine gone? And I tell you where it was, Faye. It was in my room. All that lip gloss. Happy memories. Sorry, what were we talking about? Old people in
Hollyoaks.
Do we need to bring in more old people into EastEnders? Is that the solution?
They need to bring in kind of what Ash said. They need to bring in more people that we care about who can stick around long enough that they'll get really old.
Yeah.
Like if they hadn't completely messed up Mick and Linda Carter, that would have been perfect. I could watch them for the next 20 years, keep them there.
Well, I think they're just waiting for Ian and Jane Beale to get really old, aren't they? I think that's who they're waiting for. Like Sharon and Phil and...
That's a long old way.
Phil is not going to live that long.
Phil's in his 60s.
His clock is ticking.
All right, well, we're actually going to... We're going to come back to this one. Spoiler alert for later in the podcast. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy about to be complete. The trailer for 50 Shades Freak. 50 Shades Freed? 50 Shades Freed?
I thought you said 50 Shades Freak.
50 Shades Freak, as in Freak in the sheets.
Freak like me.
Freak like me, to quote the hit Sugar Babe song.
Le Freak, so chic.
All right. Well, anyway, the 50 Shades Freed trailer came out this week, and there's a big change coming. No, it's not an increase in quality. That much is clear from watching the trailer. It's actually that they're going to get married. Christian Grey, Anastasia Steele, they're tying the knot. It's all getting very serious. Rachel, you're a big fan of the 50 Shades films, am I correct?
I absolutely love them. They are so, so shit. And in that way, absolutely brilliant.
I mean, we both went to see them at the cinema, right?
Both of them were like in my top five cinematic experiences of my life.
100, like especially the first one. But actually, no, both of them.
The second one, the first one was better because the second one was too shit, in my opinion. The first one towed the line quite nicely.
See, I think the second one was better because it was worse. Because there were so many unnecessary shots. Ash, you've not seen them, right?
No,
I have more to do with my life. No, I'm sorry, you don't.
Honestly, to everyone listening, clear your Valentine's Day plans. Or, in my case, continue to have no Valentine's Day plans. And go and see 50 Shades Freed. Inspired by this, I just want to ask you, is what are a few of your favourite shit films that are just constant guilty pleasures?
Rachel's got a whole shelf of them.
I love shit films. Rachel, more specifically basic films.
Yeah, they're more basic than anything. The first time I went to Rachel's house, I was literally aghast. Like, in her room, there's just this shelf of, like, every, just really, not like terrible, but just every like basic film. It like starts with The Notebook and then it just goes from there. So if I just give you The Notebook as a jumping off point.
I bet you got 10 Things I Hate About You on there.
An absolute classic. I'm sorry, that is a good film. It's a Shakespeare adaptation.
That's too good for Rachel's shelf.
I've got it. It's one of my favourite films.
Well, it's too good for your shelf. You should put it somewhere else.
Should put it on the actual good shelf. Yeah, like, show people.
Yeah. Ash, favourite shit film?
Oh, White Chicks. I shouldn't really admit to that.
I find
this
very surprising. Like, you're not someone that I would have thought was a White Chick.
Well, so my love of White Chicks emanated from...
I wish you could see Rachel's face. It's unfortunate that you can't. But anyway, sorry, Ash, please tell us about White Chicks.
So my love of White Chicks started from my love of the scary movie films.
No, please, please, please continue. Sorry, don't let Rachel's hyperventilation in the corner throw you off. Like, just ignore her. Pretend she's not there. Talk to me.
Sorry, Ash.
I just really loved the scary movie. It ended up being
What do you call a 4G? That's something else. That's something we can talk about after the podcast. Also, there were five of them, because Lindsay Lohan was the last
I didn't see number five. Two and three were my favourites. But they obviously star the Wayans brothers.
Oh, obviously.
And the Wayans brothers are in White Chicks, hence why I got into White Chicks.
Can you tell me why you love White Chicks so much?
It's just really dumb. It's really stupid. It's got the dumbest plotline ever. It's got a load of really cheap gags. And there's prosthetics involved, and I always love a cheap prosthetic.
Do you know what? That film, now that you've just laid it out for me, sounds right up your street. cheap humour, wigs, say no more. It's basically tailor-made for you. What I want to ask you is, what are the films that are beyond guilty pleasure status and they're just shit that you would never watch again?
I think I've talked about this before. But when I went through that phase of just writing Idris Elba into Netflix and watching everything that came up.
Yes.
And I watched Obsessed, the Idris Elba and Beyonce. I don't even know what it was supposed to be, but it was a film.
It's like Fatal Attraction, it's 2015, isn't it?
So shit. It's all set in like one house. That was like genuinely just crap.
And it's got the component of a good film as
on
well.
On paper, it sounds amazing. It came up. I was like, oh yes, this can get right on my list. No, it was
awful.
Off
the list, is it?
Well, they've actually taken it off Netflix now.
Yeah, you'd have to tell me. I'm fully aware that it's no longer on Netflix. After the last time we talked about it, I sprinted home, listening to Formation all the way. Can I ask about your basic shelf? My least favourite film of all time, He's Just Not That Into You on there?
Oh, it's not, but that's on my list to watch.
Oh, well, can I just tell you now? Don't.
No, I'm rewatching loads of basic films at the moment.
No, this is beyond basic, though. This hurts to watch.
Why?
It's just all of the women in it are so weak.
Okay.
And I'm not somebody who prescribes to, like, you know, if you're going to have a leading woman, she needs to be strong. She needs to be a good role model, because sometimes, you know, people are complex. Some people have moments where they're not strong. But literally every single woman in 10 Things I Hate About You is like whiny and like...
No, wait, did you say in 10 Things I Hate About You?
Oh, no, the other one. What's it called? He's just not that into you. 10 Things I Hate About You is a joy to watch from start to finish. All-star cast. Julia Stiles. Alice and Janney. Amazing. And this other one, which has also got an all-star cast, is shit and to be avoided at all costs. Have you seen it, Ash?
Maybe as a kid. Maybe as like a teenager. Yeah, I haven't seen it recently.
It's not good. I'll tell you what, who I love for bad films, though. Jennifer Lopez. And Madonna, but Jennifer Lopez especially. Mm. Sit me down.
See, I think they're Made in Manhattan.
Oh, come on. What Made in Manhattan film? Is so bad. I love it, though. But like,
I always get confused, though, because that's not the one with Matthew McConaughey, is it? The one with him is different.
Which is the one with Jane Fonda?
That's Monster in Law. And that is a film. That is a film. Cheap gags. Jane Fonda. Wigs.
Is Jane Fonda doing her exercises in that film?
No, she's not. Surprisingly, she can keep it together for like a minute. The wedding planner.
Our producer, Beau, has just informed me. It's called The Wedding Planner.
The Jennifer Lopez one.
Yeah, with Matthew McConaughey. Oh, that is such a good film. I love The Wedding Planner.
Is Matthew McConaughey an Oscar winner now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he literally went from, I mean, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, one of the worst films of all time.
That's a really good film, so.
What? Is not, you know what? We're going to fall out today. Are you a fan of that film?
I mean, I haven't watched it in a really long time. But this is the thing also when you rewatch films. Like, as you know, I rewatch Music and Lyrics a few times lately.
Now there's a film.
And when you rewatch it back, you come to realise, like, I think when you look back on them, you think, oh, that was a really good film. It was really, like, funny, like, a bit shit, but it was good. And then when you watch it back, it hits you just how appalling Drew Barrymore's acting actually is. Mm. Like, it's unbelievable that it even... Oh, it is bad. It's so bad.
Do you know what, though? Drew Barrymore, she doesn't need to act. She's just enigmatic.
No, like, she does need to act.
She's paid to act. Like, that's like her job.
You. Oh, no, but I just like looking at Drew Barrymore. I just think also, she's got such a good energy.
That other shit film, 50 First Dates, that film pisses me off so much.
Oh, God, I saw that.
Well,
I went
to the
cinema to see that.
It's literally abuse. It's like, oh, this woman has a severe memory disorder, so I'm going to just romance her every day. How about you just piss off and leave her alone?
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible. It's that's, really
you
problematic.
Know what? That's one. Wouldn't get away with it these days.
No, you probably would because you're Adam Sandler and, oh, you're so funny. Sorry about that.
Have you ever walked out of the cinema?
No, but I should have during Hail Caesar. That's the worst film I've ever seen in a cinema.
I've only done it once.
What was it?
It was a Johnny Depp film. And it was like... I think it was like an investigator. It was like a period thing. And it was not what I signed up for when, like, my friend was like, do you want to come to the cinema? I was like, yeah, okay. And it was not the film that I thought it was going
to
be.
I don't know anything about the film I'm about to guess it as, but was it Chocolat?
Is that... No.
Oh, no Chocolat.
No, he was like some sort of like detective.
Secret Window.
No, do you know what? I'm going to look it up while you two keep discussing stuff.
You know, Johnny Depp was in Chocolat and then he was in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh my God, what a jump.
Just end the podcast now, actually. I think that's that's a note to end on. Fuck a lot of it.
Public Enemies.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
I've not heard of that. He's done a lot of shit films, though, Johnny Depp.
He has. He's done, like, two good films, and the rest are all shit. Mm. He really should have the same reputation as Madonna as an actor, because she's done two good films.
Oh, it was a mob drama. I thought it was a detective.
How late into it did you walk out?
It was a good hour and a half, which, in fairness for me...
Probably only had about 20 minutes to go.
No, I think it was, like, one of those films that was... swellingly long.
Oh, I love it.
Do you know what it is? I almost walked out of the cinema a couple of weeks ago during, I shouldn't even really slag this film off because it's getting a lot of praise, but during God's Own Country, which everybody is talking about as if it's the most amazing thing in the world. And I'm sure it is. And I don't want anyone to not experience that film because of me, but I wanted to walk out. And the only reason I didn't was because I was in the middle of the aisle.
Why did you want to walk out?
Because it was just so boring. Like, it was just, there's just so much space in between things happening, and the reason there is so much space is because, like, the idea is that you get how boring this guy's life is, and so there's bits where he's doing,
that's
like,
the point.
Yeah, it's it's not a bad film, it's just not for me.
That sounds dull.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not into a dull film.
See, I like a dull film.
See, this the thing is, the truth of the matter is that I had ironing to do. And so all the while, I was watching this guy on his farm doing tasks. And I was just like, oh, I've got tasks to do.
But they could have filmed you doing your ironing. It probably would have been more interesting.
Do you know what? I would have sped things up. If I could have watched it at home while doing the ironing, I probably would have enjoyed it more. But because I was in the cinema and I wasn't really bothered about being there in the
cinema. Do you really iron your clothes?
This is a tangent we don't need to have.
Right, well...
That wasn't shady, by the way.
Now that I've mentioned my ironing, we can finally move on to this week's quiz, which, as previously discussed, is it's themed around Dean Gaffney's comments. Dean Gaffney, the apparent fourth member of the team today, because I'm so obsessed with mentioning him. Inspired by him wanting more older characters on screen, I've picked a few more mature soap characters, and we're going to do a higher or lower with their ages.
Oh, the now, characters or the actors?
I'm glad you asked, with the characters. Okay. So don't go thinking we're being shady about anybody's age. We're just guessing how old certain characters are. And remember, the actors and the characters are often different ages, so we're not being shady. We're just guessing how old the characters are based on how long they've been around the soaps. So, Rachel, I'm going to come to you first because not only are you reigning quiz champion, but you are the resident soap expert. So I'm going to start with Eric Pollard from Emmerdale.
Okay.
One of the longest serving ITV soap characters. Yep. He is 72 years old.
The actor.
The character.
Oh, the character. Yep. Sorry. Got it.
The character. Yeah. He's 72. He was born in June 1945, fictionally. The question is Norris Cole from Coronation Street older or younger than Eric Pollard from Emmerdale? Eric Pollard's the character, right?
Yeah, he is. Right. The problem here is that they're both still working, so...
Also, all of these characters, by the way, are either, like, still in the soap or they're off-screen but still alive.
Okay.
So none of them are, like, at the age of the character's death.
Okay, cool. I'm going to have to just wildly guess this one. I'm going to say that Norris is younger.
That is incorrect. Norris is actually 5 years older. He's 77. And he's still...
Still knocking around in that cabin.
He certainly is.
He'll be knocking up Mary as well.
Oh.
Aren't they together?
No, they're currently involved in a fraud storyline.
Yeah, fake marriage.
I read a spoiler saying they were getting married and I was a bit like, oh, didn't see that one coming.
Well, on that note, Ash, I'm coming over to you. Mo Harris from EastEnders, a.k.a.
Big Mo.
Big Mo, which was my nickname at school for different reasons. do we think that Big Mo is older or younger than Norris Cole from Coronation Street at 77 years old?
I think she's younger.
Well, once again, I'm afraid you're incorrect. Mm. Big Mo is actually 81 years old.
She's been off screen for absolutely ages.
How old is Layla Moore? So that's what I want to... I'm going to look that up.
Well, I'll tell you what, look it up after, because we've all got homes to get to. But yeah, also bear in mind that, again, this isn't the character. This isn't the actress, this is the character. The character was born in February 1936.
Bring back Big Mo. That'll sort out EastEnders' age problem.
Only in for like the 3 weeks before she dies.
I mean,
the character, you can cut that out.
All right, well, Rachel, I'm going to come over to you next. One of soap's most iconic faces, Ken Barlow from Coronation Street. Is he older or younger than Mo Harris from EastEnders, aka Big Mo?
I think a little bit younger.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you're correct.
Yes.
Ken Barlow is 77 years old. Born October 1939.
But I think William Roach is older, I reckon.
That's correct, but you get no points for that.
It's a shame. Because how old is William Roach then?
Do I look like bloody Wikipedia? I don't know. You can look it up yourself.
I'm going to have so much to research after this quiz.
You certainly are. Another iconic face from the world of elderly soap, Dot Cotton from EastEnders. Is she older or younger than Ken Barlow?
I know that June Brown is 90, but I know the character is younger than June Brown. But I'm still going to say...
Both of those facts are correct, by the way.
That she is old. I'm going to say that Dot is still older than Ken Barlow.
That's correct. She's 82. One's each, everyone. Rachel, Rita from Coronation Street. She's up at the crack of dawn, full face of makeup, full wig, opening that cabin up. Shifting them.
She's not got a wig, has she?
Oh, for crying out loud, I knew you were going to say that.
No, she's just naturally ginger at X age.
It's like Gloria Honeyford.
I'm not talking about wigs with you anymore. No more wigs. I refuse. Rachel, read out from Coronation Street, older or younger than Doc Carton?
What is Doc Carton, 82?
She's 82.
Younger.
Incorrect. Rita from Coronation Street is 85 years old.
That is impossible.
She was born 1932. According to, I should tell you as well, by the way, that all of these statistics were found on the Wikia pages for Coronation Street Descenders and Emmerdale. So any issues, take it up with them, not me. I just do me Google search 5 minutes before we go to recording and hope for the best. So I'm afraid no point there.
Okay.
Ash, Aunt Babe from EastEnders, she older or younger than Rita from Coronation
Street? Younger.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that was a bit of an easy one. Yeah, she's 68. She's now off screen, is that correct?
She is, being evil elsewhere.
Is she evil?
Oh, yeah, she's horrible. A nasty piece of work, that Aunt Babe.
Aunt Babe, is she evil?
Yeah.
He's being serious. Well, obviously, they're being serious. She's got such a lovely, kind face.
Oh, no, she doesn't. Not when she screws it up. Yeah.
Evil, I never did. Rachel, this one is to stay in the game.
Okay.
Zach Dingle from Emmerdale, is he older or younger than Aunt Babe?
God, he's been in it years. Since the dawn of time.
Thing is as well, he's always looked the same.
Yeah. Oh, and he's... I'm going to just guess older, but I think that might be wrong.
Rachel, I'm sorry. That is
he younger?
He's younger by 3 years. And Ash, you have won, but just to finish things off, congratulations on knowing so many fictional characters' ages. Kathy Beale, older or younger than Zach Dingle?
See, Kathy Beale, I find, is a funny one because the age difference between her and Ian is just not believable. So I'm going to say Ian's like 45-ish. She was about 18 when she had him.
Just to clarify, you have already won. So, you know.
No, I just want this right. Older than 65, was it?
Older than 65 is the question.
I'm going to say older.
That's correct. She was born in May 1950, which makes her 67. Dot, dot, dot. Well, I do some Carol Vorderman-esque math.
Gillian Telforth cannot be 67. If she is 67, she looks amazing for her.
Well, they don't have to be the same age.
Well, I'll have to look up Gillian Telforth's age on Wikipedia with Ash. We'll be back next week for more Into It. Laters!